Welcome, welcome. Happy Wednesday. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. I know our podcast is going global now. Just want to thank you for joining in on the podcast, Wisdom Wednesday with Dr. Mary Seegers. Wow, here we are, the second Wednesday in January of a brand new year and a new you. And as a recap from last week, you can catch my episode on all of the podcast platforms. You can also replay the video on Wisdom Wednesday podcast on Facebook and, of course, on YouTube, Dr. Mary Seegers' channel. And we talked about being our own BFF. So are you your own BFF, your best friend forever? So, you know, we have to follow our own playbook rules. And we follow our moral compass we talked about last week. How it's so important that your core values will identify who you really are. We can't pretend because that will dictate what we do and how we do and how we personify it in the world, right? And then, of course, we talked about your interests. Your interests will give you some indication of who you are, what you like, what you dislike. So continuing on with that, I talked about, we're going to talk about our temperament. When I mention temperament, I'm referring to a person's nature, especially as it affects their behavior, or how a person behaves or represents themselves based on their personality traits and such. You can dive deeper in your own behavior so that for the sake of this podcast, to getting to know yourself better, I'll just share two types of temperament. My first one I want to talk about is introvert. And then we'll go into the extrovert. Introversion, which means they feel more comfortable focusing on their inner thoughts and ideals rather than what's happening externally. If you are more reserved, or when you think of someone who's shy or quiet and prefers to be alone, more than likely they're an introvert. Last year, I eulogized my brother-in-law. And I share with the family and friends that we all know that he was a true introvert. However, when he spoke in a crowd, that took courage, that took energy, that took him getting out of his comfort zone. Everyone listened because he had something to say. So respect a person. If you are an introvert, that's how you allow yourself to go ahead and to operate in the world, that's great. So that's a good example. In contrast, an extrovert is someone said to have a personality type that is social and outgoing. They enjoy being around people. They could be a people person and tend to focus on the outside world. We as humans can be both introvert and extrovert in certain environments. However, we have the propensity to gravitate to one over the other. Perhaps you are more gregarious, an outgoing person, thus you are more prone to be an extrovert. This helps to know your temperament, and you can identify other people's temperament as well. It's been said that typically people will marry the opposite of their temperament, I guess, to perhaps balance each other out. And I can say it's true in my marriage. I'm more of an extrovert, and my husband's more of an introvert. He's thinking, he's always a thinker and planning. So we kind of complement one another, and really that rounds us out to be more balanced in our marriage. So take notice of your behavior, which will be an indication. And then observe other people, your family, your spouse, your best friend, your coworkers, your boss. So I'm challenging you to be a people watcher this week. And you might be surprised what you will observe. And when I say be a people watcher, don't talk about it. Just observe and watch. You know, the Bible tells us to watch and pray. So just watch and see how people interact with you, how you interact with people. And, you know, it gives us another level of saying, okay, I am this way, and that person is that way. always tell my clients when I coach them, stop trying to find yourself in other people. For an example, I have a lady that's very compassionate. She loves to help people. That's just in her DNA. And so if she see a person under the bridge, and when she's driving, she would turn around, make a U-turn, go back. I mean, she have blankets in her car and go help people and give them food. I mean, she's done that. I've seen her. I witnessed her do this. And then I don't know why other people, they see that person, you know, and why can't they do that? Because that's not how they're wired. You're wired like that. That's how you operate your life. Don't expect other people to do exactly what you do. And so that helps us to balance out to know, okay, I'm unique. I'm different. I like to do this. And I can't expect my best friend or my spouse or my other people that I know to do exactly what I do. So it gives us a real good understanding that you are your own person. And so don't expect to find yourself in other people. The next, and let me just talk again about the temperament. There's other tools out there to help you identify. Myers-Briggs is a very well-known one. I know when I was working at General Motors, we used that in HR. And it's a way of just identifying your different personality traits. The DISC, the D-I-S-C, is another phenomenal tool that you can use. Gallup Clifton Strengths is an excellent one. It tells you, helps you identify your strengths, and then you want to lean in on your strengths. You know, it reminds me of a quote by Malcolm Forbes. He said, "Too many people overvalue what they are not and undervalue what they are." So let's reverse that. Start overvaluing what you are and enjoy who you are as a person, you know? You can do what you need to do and do it well and do it in excellence. So next I want to talk about trigger points. It could be a nerve point. Some people said they rock my nerves, but it's a trigger point and we all have them. We really do. Okay, let's talk about that. Some call them emotional triggers and how we can identify these triggers in our lives. Triggers can be internal or external. So triggers are memories, object, people that spark intense negative emotion. That's why sometimes triggers can also be called mental health triggers or psychological triggers. Trust me, we all have them in one way or another. This change in emotion can be abrupt, and in many cases, it would feel more severe than what the trigger would logically call for. Some of the triggers are anger. Do you know people who are just angry? It seems like for no reason at all, there's something internally going on in that person. I know, again, I had a friend who I would say a certain word or something I would say in a reminder of her ex, who she hated. And, you know, and so I would say, "Oh, don't say that. That reminds me of my ex," you know, and she would get, her temperament would change. Her whole demeanor would change. And she'd just go into another, like another person. And so I said, a lot of times when we have these triggers, we need to be healed from these things. You know, that saying, talk about hurt people, hurt others. You know, I understand now when Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Because sometimes people want to stay in that state of panic, that state of confusion. But if you want to be made whole, you have to be healed from some of these trigger points. Another one is anxiety. You know, they said with the pandemic going on, so many people had so many anxiety attacks. And they see in the urgent care, when out of nowhere, people just have these anxiety attacks, or I guess a fear or not knowing what's going on with the pandemic or whatever. Feeling overwhelmed. You feel vulnerable. Some people feel abandoned or out of control. Loneliness is another trigger point. Muscle tension. Memory tied to a traumatic event. Pain or sadness. You know, I like to just think of, we can control our own emotion. I really do believe that, because the Bible says that one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-control. I can't control what anyone else do. I'm only responsible for what I can do. It's 90% is how you respond to an issue. A lot of times if you hear something dramatic or something that's frightful, our built-in mechanism is going to try to, you know, to help ourselves or defend ourselves. But if we take deep breaths and learn how to just try to relax, because when you're frantic, you can't think logically. I know I can't. When I'm all upset, I can't think logically. So we need to just learn how to do the breathing method. You know, count back from 10, 9, 8, 7. And as you're counting, you're allowing your body to get in control and allowing your thinking to get in order as well. What's another thing that I've learned, I just had a conversation with some friends on the radio show a couple of days ago, that we really have to unlearn some things that we've learned in life. And unlearning things is just as difficult as learning new things. I tell you why. We've heard things all our lives, and it's like an imprint in our brain, like a little compartment in our brain, okay, to remember, always to recall. But if it's not the right thing for us, if it's not going to be positive in our lives, we need to learn how to unlearn that. For an example, if you've been taught when you were younger, you're not going to be anything. You won't amount to anything. That's been ingrained in your mind. And so you have to say to yourself, I call it affirmation therapy. You know, we all need therapy in one form or another. Or read the Bible where it says, you are more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. We have to unlearn those negative things and learn how to insert those positive affirmations. The word of God is going to tell you who you really are. So a lot of times we can just have to unlearn some of those old things and those old habits, because we want to be a new you in a new year. It doesn't value us, or it doesn't give us anything extra if we're in a new year and we're still doing the same old thing that we did 10 years ago. That doesn't add value to your life. You know, just because it's a new year, let's make sure that we level up in our mindset, level up in our thinking, level up in our life, level up in our giving, level up in every area of our lives. And that way you can enjoy your own company. You can be your own BFF. You can love the person you have become. And so we just have to, it takes time. It takes mental energy. It takes thinking. It takes confessing. It talks about saying affirmation. And so we have to learn how to do that. Is it easy? Of course not. Anything that's worth anything of value may not always be easy, but it'll be worth it in the long run. And another thing, let's talk about stop the blame game. Have you ever seen people, if it wasn't for my mom, if it wasn't for my spouse, if it wasn't for this job, enough already. Let's look to see the person in the mirror. I'm going to be responsible for what I do, what I say, and how I carry my life. I know I listened back to some of my old podcasts, and I think the very first one I mentioned, we own homes, we own boats, we own cars, we own stock, right? But own your own words, be responsible for your life, be responsible for what your action dictates, be responsible for your words, be responsible for what you do in life, and don't blame anyone else. If I want to go out and do something, I have to take that responsibility and be responsible for that. Blind spots. I wanted to talk briefly about blind spots. I wanted to use the analogy about when we're driving in our car, and we have the rear view mirror, we have our side mirrors, but a lot of times when we want to go into another lane, those mirrors may not support what's in that other lane. So sometimes you have to really take a glance and actually look over. And so when we have blind spots, this is where I will encourage you to have someone that you trust, a value friend, someone that you know that's going to tell you the truth, and say, what are some of my blind spots? You know, what do you see in me that I can't see in myself? And so often they will tell you, you know, Mary, I have a friend that said, Mary, when you're on your podcast, I love your podcast. You always say, you know. And so I have on my computer here, don't say, you know. And I know I've already said a couple of you knows, but she shared that with me because it's a blind spot. I think it's part of my my DNA, even though I went through Toastmasters. But I want to be authentic. And as I'm talking and I'm thinking, I may say that word, you know. And so that's one for you, my friend. But again, she was able to show that that blind spot to me. And so I always try to remember, Mary, don't say it, don't say it. And so that's a person that I value, I trust, I appreciate her, our friendship. And so when she told me that, I'm very conscious, I'm being very intentional not to say that word or those words. So if I say it, please forgive me, I'm working on it. And so I'm trying to unlearn not saying it. I wasn't even conscious of it. I wasn't even aware of that. So again, friends that you trust and you enjoy their input in helping you to be the better you. And so that's why I try to be authentic. In fact, I am authentic. This is what you see is what you get. Anybody that knows me. And I want to just give you some wisdom nuggets. And that's why I call it Wisdom Wednesday. I'm enjoying your input. Let me see what Carla, one of my friends, says. She said, as an adult, we are now responsible for our words and action and accept the outcome without blame to others. So true, Carla, so true. And sometimes it's hard. It's easier to point that finger. It was that person. But as we mature, as we stretch, as we grow, we know that we are responsible for our own action, for our own words. And that helps us to be a better person as well. I've enjoyed this. I hope you got some nuggets out of this. Again, know your temperament, know how you operate in life. And like I said, we all can be either extrovert or introvert in different environments. If you're in court and you're an extrovert, you will learn how to be an introvert, to be quiet and to be reserved, because you're in that environment that requires that. But we always have that propensity to do one over the other. And then again, know your trigger points, because if someone knows they can push your button every time and have you go off the handle, they will do it. I don't know if because they could, I can do, make her do what she wants, what she don't even know she's doing. But know your trigger points. If you know that certain times of the year, I have a friend who lost her mother when she was a young lady. And every Mother's Day come around, she gets in a place that's real sad and she's real reserved. And yet she's a mother. And I shared with her, I said, keep those fond memories of your mother in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. And when I mentioned that to her, she said, when you told me that, that helped her not to stay in that space of darkness when Mother's Day come around. So I know I lost my mom when I, you know, and I look at other people with their mother. And when I share that, look at the pictures and think of those fond memories of your mom. Keep her in your heart. And that way you won't be in that sad space. Because if you go there, you don't want to stay there in that space. It's not healthy for us, and it's not mentally healthy for us. And so I shared those words with her because I knew she had shared how she felt on Mother's Day. And so if you know certain trigger points, you know, today is my brother-in-law's birthday, and he made his transition last year, my husband's youngest brother. My husband and I, we were praying this morning. He really said, I'd rather have him here, but I know he's in a better place. He's no longer in pain. But that was a trigger point, his birthday, January the 12th. And I'm looking on Facebook, I saw some of the memories. We had pictures of him, and I looked at the pictures, and it touched my heart. And I was trying to go there, but I said, no, I love him. I always will love him. He has a special place in my heart. My husband and I cried a little earlier this morning, but guess what? I'm not going to go into that dark place. I'm not going to allow myself to go there, because we know absent from the body is present with the Lord. And sometimes we get selfish. We want them to stay here in pain and not comfortable in their own body. But when God said, no, he's coming with me. And so we just have to accept that. And so you can control those trigger points is what I'm trying to share with you, ladies and gentlemen. So don't let people push you into place, or don't allow yourself to go into a dark hole. You know, it's not mentally healthy for you. That's why I admire Simone when she was in the heart of the Olympics. She knew what was good for her. She could not do it. She said, I'm not mentally there. I'm not physically there. And people talked about her, but guess what? She had a state of mind that I can't do it. but I'm not going to do it because people expect me to do it. So my hat's off to Herb, and I think more people need to do that. Make sure your mental health is your number one. It's part of your self-control. It's part of your self-care. Just like we eat healthy, we take care of the physical body, take care of our mental health as well. So with that, I don't mean to preach. I just want to tell you that we can be our own BFF. And this is the year that you're going to be the better you, the best you. And my theme for this year is level up. Let's level up. Let's get out of the old you and get into the new you. And I'm sure you will love who you have become. Until next week, we'll see you. Bye for now.